Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mighty, and he's coming back soon. And he's coming back with a plan. He has a plan. He has a plan in action now, that more people may be able to go back with him. The Lord our God thinks of all things. He saw the future ahead of time, so he knows what he's doing. He knows where we are. He knows where we would be. He gave people a chance to do different things. Some succeeded, some failed. He used the life of those who succeeded. He used their efforts, their faith, to continue his work that others may live. And the strong bear the infirmities of the weak. And he has a network of prayer and priests. Priests that pray for his people to build them up, to bring them up to his standards, to live the life of God so people can see and make a sober choice. The Lord our God is good, and his return is very, very soon. So now he's working to bring save as many as possible, so that they don't have to die in this ugly world, in the world system. The earth itself is beautiful, but the world system is terrible. It's not of God. The world system is sin. And I've never seen such a day where there's such a division of righteousness and unrighteousness. Deception everywhere. You know, there are all forms of deception. Deception is designed to keep people in sin, and they're entrapped, they're hooked. They're bound by sin. Their sin won't let them get saved because they give their sin too much credit. And they're looking at the sin, and sin causes them to look away from God and run from God and dodge God. There are people out there, when they see the people of God coming, they leave. They go do something else. They don't want to be around them. That's because they've been networked. They've been captured by sin. You know, they're inside Satan's network. And it's working against them. But there's an anointing that breaks the yoke, helps people see what they're missing. It helps them come out of that captivity. God can do something about all sin if the person is willing. If they want to be saved, God will help them be saved. He's for them, not against them. He's trying to help you. Well, he's trying to help, just like he's trying to help you and me. He's trying to help others. He's trying to help those that will receive it. Whoever will receive it, he wants to help them. If they go to hell, he doesn't have pleasure in them dying. Now the enemy is so crooked, he got people mad at God. He's got people upset with him. Ray Wilson told a story in Sunday school. I wish I had recorded it, but I missed recording this. It was just a segment, so I didn't record it. I didn't know what he was going to say, and I wish I had recorded it, but it was a good story. An Indian chief got saved by a missionary. And the missionary went back to check on him, asked him how things was going. He said, "It's like I've got two dogs in my heart, in my soul. One is a black dog, wants to do wrong and sin. The other one is a white dog, wants to do right and do things God's way." And the missionary asked him, "Well, which one's winning?" He said, "The one I feed the most." And that's the way it is. What are you looking at? What you focus on will grow bigger to you. Whatever you focus on, that will get bigger in your eyes. If it's a problem, the problem will get bigger in your eyes and God will get smaller. But the Word of God, you'll see the truth of God's Word and He'll get bigger and your problem will become microscopic. And you'll know what to do. You'll get rid of it. See, the grace of God, the Word of God comes to us as a grace, just like salvation. Let me say this right now. The grace of God includes everything that God gives us. From salvation, that's in the grace. Authority over Satan, grace. The Word of God, grace. The power of God by the Holy Spirit, grace. The anointing, grace. The office that God gives us to operate in, that's a grace too. All of the 9 gifts of the Spirit is a grace. And all of the fruits of the Spirit is a grace. The 9 fruits of the Spirit, they're grace. That's a grace. Everything that God gives man is a grace. So we receive redemption, salvation through the blood of Jesus, our grace. And the grace is sufficient for you. There is no problem in the world, my friend, that you can't conquer as you operate according to the grace of God. The Holy Spirit can come to you as a spirit of might. When you felt weak, He can strengthen you and you'll be strong. You'll be strong in the Lord. Above all odds, you'll be strong. The spirit of wisdom, you'll know what to do. You'll know your best option. The spirit of counsel, you'll understand your best option by the spirit of counsel. You'll get an insight on what God sees. The spirit of knowledge, the Lord will tell you the facts. He'll help you understand the facts. Everything that He gives you is a grace. When the Word of God comes to you saying something, that's a grace too. The spiritual gifts, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, gifts of healing, grace. The grace is sufficient to get the job done. The grace is like a blank check from God. You fill in what you need, and it's sufficient. It won't bounce. Now, Paul wanted God to come out of heaven and get rid of his thorn in the flesh. He wanted God to do something. But God already made provisions. You just got to learn the Word and use it. And his answer, what solved the problem, was taking authority over the devil when the devil harassed him through men. I was once in my garage, and the guy was helping me prepare cotter paint, and somebody came by that he knew and started from his job and started talking, and he was getting on his nerve. And the Lord spoke a word to James and said, "Tell Satan he can't speak." And that's all James said was, "Satan, you can't speak." And the guy, he stopped talking. He got in his car and left. Now I learned something from that. If you take authority over the enemy has to stop. He doesn't have a choice. He'll even be happy to stop. When you tell Satan to stop, he has to stop. And the Lord was teaching me these things, and I said, "Well, Lord, what if he don't? When you tell Satan to stop, he has to stop," the Lord said, even louder. And that happened 3 times. And I was too afraid to ask him one more time, and it got in my heart. And I never had a problem rebuking the enemy, never. And I've talked about that in other broadcasts. I talked about the gunfights and all the things that happened. I rebuked the enemy. Nobody got killed. Authority, grace. So the grace of God is sufficient to get the job done. Just like the Indian chief, We have to feed the word of God in our heart. We have to receive God's word. If we feed our heart the word of God, it'll grow stronger, and our desires for sin will change. Our attitude against it will grow. We'll see the danger of it. And you also have to learn what life does. See, that sometimes people don't want to sin. They just want to have a good time. All right? Whatever you want to do in this life, what did God give first? Look at the gift that God gave. And within that realm, you can live and do the things you'd really like to do. You know, men like women, all right? In God's house, get a wife. But don't just go get a wife. Pray. Get guidance. Get understanding. Remember, a lot of people are in a hurry, and that's why people mess up. That's why people get in debt. They get in a hurry. If God is not in a hurry, don't you be in a hurry. That's why people mess up. It's better to trust God and ask Him and pray about the wife that He will send, because He knows whether they'll love you or not, and whether you'll love her or not, and whether y'all will connect and enjoy each other's company or not. Some people get desperate and they marry too fast. And they're structured different. They like varied things in opposite ways. So when they find all that out, then they have a problem. But when a person enjoys your company and you enjoy that, now you're married. But if they can't be settled with you, or if you can't be settled with them, and now you're stuck, now you got to get the wisdom of God to learn how to make that work out right. And you'll have to be very mature and understanding towards one another. It can be done, because we're the people of God. We can do all things through Christ. But it's better when you have the right connect, the right wife. And then you have to do the biblical principles of God to keep her. You have to, I always advise people with, the Lord, He used to give me 1 Peter. If you can understand and do 1 Peter, you can have a thriving marriage. Because 1 Peter 1 explains the love of God, unfeigned love. You learn how to live with unfeigned love. And it's better. Now, all the girlfriends out there, that don't work out too good, because God speaks against fornication and adultery. But God's best is one man, one woman. I'm glad I don't live in the Old Testament days where I have to marry my dead brother's wife to raise children. I wouldn't want two wives. I wouldn't want five wives. I want one wife. That's what God made Adam, and He made Eve, and that was perfect. It's better. To me, personally, to have more than one wife would be confusing. I wouldn't be happy. I'd be ready for Jesus to come on back. I wouldn't like it. I'm just being honest. I would not like it. And I thank God that I don't have to go through that. I'm not wired that way. But the love of God, when you operate in the love of God, you're complete in Him. You don't need props and crutches to live a good life. When your attention is on the Lord, you learn so many things. Even when you're married, sometimes you'll find yourself wanting to just spend time with the Lord. And you'll be enjoying learning from the Lord, and then they'll come in talking. So everything has its own situation. It's not gonna, the thing you're after is not gonna make you over the top like you think. But drawing near to the Lord will. Now I'm gonna say this. It's in your heart to desire a wife, and that's part of who you are. That's perfect, that's good. Now, if you look unto the Lord, you'll appreciate her even greater in a multiplied way. 10 times to 100 times greater, you'll appreciate your wife as you look unto the Lord. When you look to people, when one spouse looks to another, and that person's big in their eyes and God is small, eventually they're going to have problems because that person can't fulfill all of your needs, all of everything, like, they can't complete you right. They can't give you the perfect wisdom. Only that comes from God. God can use them and give them wisdom. He can give you wisdom through them. But there's no substitute for enjoying a relationship with the Lord. If you have a thriving relationship with God, everything you own will be appreciated even more. I know this from experience. But if I can't wait to get a car, you know, I'm gonna buy a Mustang when I'm ready. I'm gonna get me a Mustang. That's what I want. They finally made a car I like. But I don't look at the car. The car is just a thing. And I'm going to enjoy driving, just like I enjoy driving my truck. And one day I wanted this truck I got. They finally made a truck I like, and I enjoy driving it every time I drive. I'd rather drive it than anything else I own. And I like it. I still like it. But I'm content. If I never get the Mustang, I'm still content. I'm still enjoying a relationship with the Lord. I get to talk to him, he talks to me. That's priceless. When the rapture come, all these things will be here. I'm gonna be gone. But when you look to the Lord, everything that you have, you'll enjoy it in its proper perspective. And God will he'll leave no joy out of your life. If it's important to you, it's important to him. And he'll show you how to get it and get it better and without consequence. And it'll be blessed. If you can trust me on this, you're going to enjoy the rest of your life. And it won't all, because I'm saying this because I know it don't always look like it. It look like it'll never happen sometime. But look to the Lord. And you'll have vision. You'll gain and have vision for what you're doing, and you'll know you're on the right track, and you will attain whatever it is you're after. The day will come, the sun will rise up, and you'll have what you want. And you won't have all the sorrow that tags along. If you do it God's way, he could even show you how to do it without debt. Or get a real good deal, and you won't have as much debt. He can, there's so many things he can show you what to do. My great-grandfather used to spend time talking to his grandmother. And she was very wise. And she told him all kind of things. He was a young man. A black man, right? And he was born in slavery, but slavery was abolished when he was a baby. And his grandmother told him how to get a horse. And here he is, a teenager. And she told him how to get a horse. And most men didn't have a horse in those days. If you had a horse, you would consider that would be equivalent to a teenager having an Escalade, a brand new one. So what I'm saying is, she told him how to get a horse. And he did. He was already industrious. He worked. She said, go and buy two calves and raise them for a year. And when they're grown, sell them and you'll have enough money to buy your horse. And he did exactly that. And he was a He was the young man in his neighborhood. He had right there in Bibb County he lived. Jasper Rasmus Nall is his name. And he had a horse. He was a young man riding around on a horse that he bought. And in those days, you didn't bother a man's horse. You could die if you steal a man's horse. But he had a horse that he bought with his own money because of wisdom. Now God can show you the same things. He can show you the road to get what you're after. He may put it in your heart to buy a car and sell it, and buy another car and sell it. And then you'll have a greater down payment for the car you're after at the right time, and you'll get the best deal and have a reduced rate. He can show you what I can't show you what to do. That's just an example, but God can. He may have you to pay off your debts already. That'll make your interest rate go down all by itself. Whatever he show you to do, don't be in a hurry. Calm down. Receive what he say. Mix faith with it just like you did for salvation. You mix faith with the word and believe it, and you spoke it, and it applied to you. Same thing for everything. Believe the word, receive it, rest in it, enjoy it. And all those goosey feelings, just how pray. When you feel like you're in a hurry, just go pray. Thank God for what he's done. Every time you feel like you got to do something, go pray and enjoy his presence. And you'll grow, you'll learn to mature, and you'll grow, and you'll do it right, and it'll be good. But God has so much to say. He knows that the shortcuts will weary us. And he knows that if you can trust him, you'll live better and sober. Job said, the wise man's eyes are in his head, but a fool walks in darkness. You know, I quoted the proverb, but Job said it too, that the wise man's eyes are in his head. And when you're in the Lord's presence and he teaches you something, show you something, a confidence comes with it, joy comes with it, peace, great grace. And then whatever he speaks to you, write it down in your heart, and that's what you do. And all you have to do, you have to prepare your heart to do what he said do. Against the worst of times, you're going to get all kind of advice, and don't underestimate people's persuasion. Everybody has great persuasion, but you have to strengthen yourself against, so you'll be strong enough to withstand every attack and counter them, because Satan's going to come to try to interrupt everything, and then the persuasion of men, and then and watch this. You have to strengthen your heart against the persuasion of those you respect the most. Because sometimes even the people we look up to are wrong. And stick with what God showed you, and you'll be fine. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in your life because he loves you. You're his child. Till next time, remember, I love you. God loves you, and Jesus is our Lord.